Spencer Haywood joins us on Sports Byline USA. You know, they talk about the Dream Team. That was the first time that professional basketball players ever played in the Olympics. It was 1992. But if you want a Dream Team, I think you have to go back to 1968, the United States Olympic basketball team in the games in Mexico City, because it was really a ragtag team of nobodies. It was a team of unknown junior college players, and one of them was Spencer Haywood, who was the first teenager to play U.S. Olympic basketball. Now, there were a lot of great names playing basketball that a lot of people thought were going to be on that team, people like Lew Alcindor, who later became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wes Unseld, Elvin Hayes, Pistol Pete Maravich, Calvin Murphy, and Dan Issel. But none of them played for that U.S. team. And, of course, 1968 in Mexico City was a very special Olympics because of what happened down there with John Carlos and Tommy Smith and them raising their fists on the winner's stand during the course of those Olympic Games. But as I said, the first teenager to play in the Olympics was Spencer Haywood, and he is here on Sports Byline. Spencer, you've had some time now to kind of reflect back on those 68 Olympic Games, and when you do, what are your most vivid memories about them?
Oh, I want to say hello to your audience, but yes, my most vivid memory of the 68 Olympics were two things. First of all, I didn't have a passport, so I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to go. So we had to go through all of this drama of, like, calling my mom to get, and she lived in Mississippi, and I was raised in Detroit by Will Robinson, the famed basketball coach. But my mother had my, she said she had the birth certificate in her Bible, and no one understood why she couldn't just send it. And she was like, no, I wrote it down, and it's written down here in the Bible. And that was tradition in the South from midwife birth for kids, to put the name in the Bible on a certain verse. And we never did, but we never was issued a birth certificate because you had no reason to do it because you were just picking cotton. So what the hell do you need a birth certificate for? So we finally got a birth certificate, and they spelled my name wrong. They spelled my name in the Bible. And in this Bible, it was S-P-E-N-S-I-E, Spency. So instead of Spencer, so we finally got the birth certificate, and I was off to the Olympics. And once I got down there, you know, there was this so-called black boycott. It was a black boycott by certain players and some people. But this guy, Harry Edwards, spoke to me, and he was leading the boycott. And from your area, I think it's a San Jose State or something.
Right. There.
Yeah, he was leading the boycott, and he said to me, what are you doing, man? You're just a cotton picker for the man. What's going on? I said, oh, you know my folks? Because I was a cotton picker, you know? I mean, a real cotton picker, not just, you know, in slang, you know, and conversation, but I was a real cotton picker 2 years before. So I was like, well, hey, you know my folks? And he looked at me and shook his head. Oh, man, there's no hope for you.
Spencer, what was it, the reason why the big names that I mentioned a little bit earlier did not play for that team? Was it because of the boycott, or was there
other reasons? It was the black boycott against the 68 Olympics, and you had Elvin Hayes and Wesley Unseld decided to go into the NBA that year and go in early, which, you know, normally the NBA would give you a leave of absence for that month to play in the Olympics. And yet they chose to do so. And Kareem decided that he would help needy children in Harlem before he would go to the Olympics that year. And Pistol Pete, I saw him shoot himself right out of the Olympic trials down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The same thing with Calvin Murphy. They would just kept shooting, and Hank Iver was like, stop shooting so dang gone much, boys. Pass the ball. This is a team. And they kept shooting it. And so you had Tom Bullwinkle, and Iver said, I wanted to have a faster team. And so that eliminated Tom Bullwinkle and Dan Issel. And it was another player you mentioned there, Rick Mount.
Right.
Rick Mount was the leading scorer, the second leading scorer in the nation, because Pistol Pete averaged 44 that year, and Pistol Pete Rick Mount averaged 39. And I was the third leading scorer in the nation. Well, I wasn't that year, but in junior college, I was a freshman.
One of the things that Hank Iba did when he introduced you to the U.S. team, he said, "Gentlemen, the greatest basketball ever played is by this player here tonight, Spencer Haywood." That could have been intimidating for a kid that was 18 years old. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, but he did. Hank Iba did it at the Olympics in Los Angeles. There was Jordan. You had all of those guys, and then you had Jerry West in the locker room. I was like, "Oh my God, Mr. Iba." But to him, that's what it was, and I understood it now. I never accepted it before because I didn't even look at the field goal percentage of what I shot, 72% from the field. I didn't realize that I was the leading rebounder, leading scorer of all times in the Olympics, and the most blocked shots. I just never even thought about it like that.
You had other players that went on to play in the NBA, most notably Charlie Scott and also JoJo White. But what was the other team? Who besides yourself and those two, how was the other team made up?
We had Bill Hoskett from Ohio State, who played with the Knicks for a while. And we had Mike Silliman from Army, who was from a Northern California guy. And we also had we had AAU. We had Calvin Fowler and Jim King. But neither any of those players played professional. We only had four players to play professional.
After the team was selected, you had a couple of warm-up games. Tell me about that first one against the New York Knicks.
Well, the first game we had a warm-up game. We came from Russia. We had so much locked-in anger and really just what had went on in Russia because in Russia, we did not understand, first of all, when we got there, that we wasn't going to be able to eat steaks and eggs and all of the things we had been accustomed to eating. And when we got there, they didn't have that kind of food there, and we ended up eating horse meat, you know, and they claiming that it was a steak, but it was horse. So so when we landed back into the United States, we had been cheated by Russia, too. You know, we were beating them by, I think it was 26 points, and we went down, and the score changed like it was even. And we started arguing with the ball, and they ended up beating us by four because they cheated us out of 26 points. So we were just really wanted to get out of there and enjoy the game. That was pre-Olympics. And we landed in New York, and it was the Knicks, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, Dave DeBusch, all of these players, you know. And there I was like, whoa. So the tip-off, I jumped Willis Reed on the tip and pushed it to JoJo White, and he kicked it back to me because I just sprinted out. And I realized I was a little behind the free throw line, so I just took one step and just went up and dunked it. And all of a sudden, the Sports Illustrated, the writers, and everybody was, wait a minute, we might be able to win this gold medal back, and we might not give it away. We have a new player. We have this young, exciting player. So, and I was looking around like, who are you talking about, JoJo White, Charlie Scott, somebody? You know, and it was me, you know. So we had that battle, and we won that one. And then we went on to Cincinnati, and we played against the great Oscar Robertson, Wayne Embry, and all those guys. So, and we beat them, and I did really well, and we did well as a team. And then we began to think, you know, maybe we are this good as a team. And then we got there to Mexico City, and we just started playing and blossom. And plus the fact that I could eat all the food I want, being a growing young man, and my buddy in crime for eating food, Ron, was George Foreman.
Yeah, I can imagine you two at a table.
In the same Olympics.
Yeah, there couldn't have been much left after you guys finished up.
You know what I'm saying? So between us and the Eastern Bloc countries, we stayed in the commissary just eating food all day, seemed like. We were just eating.
Now, let me ask you about the quote that Scott made, because in that first game against New York, after you kind of wheeled and dunked on Willis Reed, he said, right then we knew we could win the Olympics. In about 30 seconds, what was it that tipped you off that you could win?
Well, the level in which I had ascend to. I mean, I was playing at another level, even from the tryouts, and even from when we played in Russia. I mean, when I got back to America, it was as if I had another. It was another person on the team, and my whole teammates looked at me weird, like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And so, it was something else to believe, you know. And to, for me to describe it, I would sound like I'm being boastful or braggadocious. So I have the goodwill not to do that. So.
Hold on just a second. We'll take a break here. We have Spencer Haywood with us. He was just a teenager back in 1968 when he was a part of the United States Olympic basketball team. First teenager to play Olympic basketball. And he picked up a gold medal when they won that gold medal down in Mexico in the 68 games. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.